Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program's name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Welcome and welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, where we are taking a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Word of God, which can only be found in the Bible. And we are in chapter 19 out of the Gospel or the Book of John that's found in the New Testament. We're covering in these last, we're wrapping up actually the Book of John. In our last episode, we cover the horrific death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he went to that cross for my sins and for your sin. And in this episode, we're going to look at his burial. And then in the last couple of episodes, we're going to look at his resurrection. He rose with all power and might. So it's not just about Jesus' death, but it's also important to note and it's important to accept and realize his resurrection. He rose from the dead because he was sinless. But we're looking at now his burial. We're going to look at his burial because he died. He indeed was buried. He was buried for 3 days, and then he rose again on that third day. Hallelujah to you in Jesus' holy name. So what we're going to do is finish up chapter 19. We're in I think we're going to cover verses 31 through 42, where we're going to look at the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus after his horrific death on that cross for my sins and for your sins. We thank him that he went on that cross, that he would die for our sins, taking our place, that we wouldn't have to face God's judgment because he did it for us. For those who accept him as our Lord and Savior, those who accept that we are sinners and he died for our sins, he took on our judgment on that cross. So if you're not already done so, please open your Bible or your Bible app to John chapter 19, which can be found in the New Testament. And we're going to cover verses 31 through 42. In our usual sense, we're going to read all the verses and then we're going to come back and break it down individually. And we're going to back up. We're going to cover verses 31, but I want to go back and highlight because it's the death of Jesus on that cross when he said it was finished, because when he said it was finished, it was finished. Everything that needed to be done for salvation, it was finished on that cross. I mean, we can't add anything to it. We can't do anything beyond what he did on that cross. God in the flesh, dying for the sins of mankind. We can't do anything beyond that. Whatever you think you can do beyond that, forget about it. You can't do it. Whatever you're waiting on in your life to, quote unquote, get right before you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, forget about it. Just accept him as your Lord and Savior because it's not going to happen. It cannot save you. What Jesus did on that cross saves mankind, which is he died for us, perfect, sinless. That's what he did. So I'm going to back up to verse number 28, and we're going to read through verses through verse 42. Verse number 28, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And so to fulfill scripture, he said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. Verse 30, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Verse number 31, it was the day of preparation and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also may continue to believe. These things happen in fulfillment of the scriptures that said, "Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they pierce." Verse number 38. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 70 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden, where there was a new tomb never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you once again for being our God. You are a great God, an awesome God, the living God, the true God, the only God, a God that would love his creature so much that he would send his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for their sins, that we may have everlasting life with you. We thank you for that. We thank you for your word that you left us with, that we can be able to study and see who you are as you've shown yourself to be. We thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, your comfort, your guidance. Lord, we thank you for every listener. We thank you that you would open my eyes and their hearts and minds and eyes and mine as well as we study your word, that it may accomplish what you wanted to accomplish in our lives, that you and you alone may get the glory. We love you and we appreciate you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go back up to verse number 31. Again, this is a continuation of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We looked in the last episode, as we'd already talked about, that Jesus died for our sins, that he went on that cross, and he, as we read, that he gave up his spirit. They didn't take it. He gave it up for me and for you, that we may have reconciliation with God the Father, we may have everlasting life, that we become a part of his godly family, that we'll have forgiveness of sin, to be free from sin. That's what he did on that cross. And so in this episode, we're looking at his burial, starting with verse number 31. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken, then their bodies could be taken down. See, the Roman crucifixion was usually after the person died on that cross or tree. They were left there to hang so the corpse could rot, and that people would see it, to keep the people in line and in fear of the Roman government, that, hey, this is not going to be a quick and simple death for you. You're going to die a painful death, and we're going to lead you up there to rot. So, and the Jews knew this. And so, given that it was close to or near their Passover, they didn't want those bodies hanging there and rotting during that time. And so they knew that in the case of Jesus and those that had been executed, the two men that were executed with him, that slow suffocation process that we talked about would ultimately kill the people that were hung on the cross could take days. And they didn't want that happening during the Passover. So in order to speed up death, they asked Pilate to break their legs, break Jesus's legs, and break the two men that was on either side of him legs, to speed up the death process. Because again, if your legs were broken, you couldn't use that to heave yourself up to breathe. And so death would come quicker. And so the Jewish leaders who have just killed the Messiah, who have just killed the real Passover, now they're trying to be clean and don't want these men dying during the Passover and wanted a quick death and get them off the cross. Now they're trying to be more religious. Well, at the same time, they've just killed the true Passover, Jesus. So that's what they had asked Pilate to do in order to hasten their death so they could take the bodies down. Verse number 32. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. And so Pilate agreed to do it. And they started with the two men that were also crucified with Jesus. They broke their legs. But then let's look at verse number 33. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his leg. So John noted in his continuation of John taking notes or noting instances of the Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled. This was an Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled of Jesus is not having any of his bones broken. And specifically, he was looking at him referring to Psalms chapter 34, verse number 20, where it says he keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Not one of Jesus's bones was broken. So when they got to Jesus, he was already dead and they didn't have to break any of his bones. And therefore, the prophetic word of Psalms 34:20 was fulfilled. And John made note of that. Moving on to verse number 34. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. So we see here one of the soldiers decided to make sure Jesus was dead. So they stabbed him in the side, and immediately these bodily fluids of blood and water came out of Jesus' side. And that was a significant to show that, hey, indeed, Jesus was dead. This was no fakery. This was no fraud. Jesus died on that cross. And if he hadn't died, where they pierced him on the side would have killed him, given that all he had gone through, the beating, the scourge that he went through, the nailing of his hands and his feet and his hanging there. If that had not killed him already, pierced him in his side enough to get blood and water, that most likely would have killed him, but he was dead already. Verse number 35. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also may continue to believe. John here is speaking of himself. And he's talking about this eyewitness. John, the writer of this book, one of the original disciples, is referring to himself right here, that he was indeed an eyewitness of all this. As we talked about, he was there close enough to be able to see the soldiers, as we talked about last time, gambling for Jesus' clothing. So he was there when he saw them, when Jesus said it is finished. He was there when they was breaking the other men who was crucified with Jesus' legs and getting ready to break his and realize that he was dead, and they still pierced him in his side to make sure he was dead. John is saying, hey, I was a witness to all this. I ain't telling you about something somebody told me. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. So we could believe, even unto this day, that we can believe of his own eyewitness account. What happened to Jesus was not a fairy tale. No one made that up. We have, just like other historical events in human history that we weren't there for. What? We rely on eyewitnesses' account. We have an eyewitness account of John of these things happening. Moving on to verse number 36. Then these things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that says not one of his bones was broken. Not one bone was broken of the Passover lamb. And this goes back to Exodus 12, verse 46 and Exodus 12, 5. When Moses told the children of Israel to prepare for the Passover, that the lamb had to be spotless. No broken bones, which was symbolic of Jesus. And now we have here Jesus who just died for the sins of mankind. No bones broken, just like it was foretold in the Old Testament. So when the Israelites sacrificed the spotless lamb with no bones to be careful not to break any bones, that was symbolic of Jesus. And here on this day, the prophetic word of God was being fulfilled, that the true Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, he was spotless, meaning that he was sinless, and no bones were broken. Our great, great Lord and Savior Jesus, that's what they were referring to back then when God instituted the Passover feast. That's what he was foreshadowing, predicting that is now has come to pass. And the death, and what we're going to see in this episode, burial, and the next episode is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Moving on to verse number 37 out of chapter 19 of the book of John. And they will look on the one they pierced. Here's yet another fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The spear wound was a dramatic fulfillment of that prophetic prophecy that John was referring to of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. In Zechariah verse 12, chapter 10, when it was talking about the Messiah, which Jesus is, it says, and I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on him and on him whom they've pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. And so when they see Jesus, when he returns, and they're going to see the one who if they've crucified and pierced, the nation of Israel is going to bring them to repentance and grief. during that latter days and upon his return. Now let's look at the burial of our Lord and Savior, because he died and he was buried. He was buried. Verse number 38. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. Joseph was a Jewish leader. He was a part of the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the leading body of Jerusalem and the Jewish people at that time, along with Nicodemus, were private disciples of Jesus. They feared the other religious leaders because those who befriended and professed Christ were excommunicated or thrown out of the temple, which was dramatic during that time, because if you were thrown out of the temple, meaning that no one could have any, you couldn't worship your God in the temple, you couldn't worship God in the temple, no one could have any dealings with you, your family, your friends, I mean, you lost your job, you lost your livelihood, you was ostracized, you was alone, and so they were afraid of that. So they believed in Jesus, and they were, as this verse tells us, were secret disciples of Jesus, but the key word was secret. They was afraid of what other people would think of them, and so they followed Jesus in secret. But this man, Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate gave him permission to get the body because he wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. Because typically during that time, no one claimed your body. When you was hung on the cross, nobody wanted to be associated with you because they were afraid if it could happen to you, it could happen to me. And usually the bodies of the victims were thrown in the garbage and left to either rot, burn, whatever they did to garbage, burn the garbage, let the animals eat it to death. And so if Joseph of Arimathea had not come along, most likely that would have happened to Jesus' body, just been thrown into the garbage, which was the common practice during that time of people who had been executed after it sat there and had rotted for days. It was thrown out like trash. But that was not the destiny for our Lord and Savior. We're going to see what his destiny was. Moving on to verse number 39. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfume ointment made from myrrh and aloes. We saw Nicodemus earlier when Jesus said, you must be born again, when he gave that lesson to Nicodemus about being born again. And Nicodemus took it literally, being born again of the womb. But Jesus was talking about being born again of the spirit, that once a person accepts Jesus Christ and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're given a new spirit, your regenerated spirit. That in the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And so we saw Nicodemus then. So we see now Nicodemus is helping Joseph of Arimathea, getting ready to prepare Jesus's body for burial. He brought about 75 pounds of perfume ointment. That was an expensive embalming process they were finna perform on Jesus. Because remember, the Jews spent hundreds of years in Egypt, which the Egyptian had perfected the embalming process, the mummification process. And so during that time, I'm sure the Jews were exposed to the embalming process, the mummification process. And so we see here the 75 pounds of ointment, this perfume, expensive ointment, who our Lord and Savior is worthy of. They're getting ready to embalm and mummify to preserve the body of our Lord and Savior. And this was costly and it was time consuming. And to see them doing this, and then ultimately we're going to see Jesus is going to resurrect out of all that 75 pounds of perfume ointment, because he's coming out. He's coming out of that grave. But we've seen the respect that they're showing for our Lord and Savior to take the time and expense. Because again, think about that 75 pounds of perfume ointment that they were embalmed use on our Lord and Savior. And he was worth every pound of it and even more. Moving on to verse number 40. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices and long sheets of linen clothing. So again, what they're doing, they're mummifying him, they're embalming him, they're mummifying him to preserve the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. But they're working fast because these, again, Jews. And so as that Passover time is getting closer, they don't want to have to be, they couldn't have dealt with a dead body and be able to participate in the Passover. So they're hastily trying to get this done in order to be able to participate in the Passover feast and festival that's happening during this time. Because again, all this is in the backdrop of that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Jews have descended upon Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the killing of the lamb for the sins of the Israels. Israelites and hear the true Passover in the human form, in the form of Jesus, the all God and all man, Jesus, who have now died for the sins of the world, for the Israelites, for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for the whole world. He's now given up his spirit, his life for our sins. And now we're looking at his burial. Moving on to verse number 41 out of John chapter 19. The place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used before. A garden tomb cut out of rock, as we learned in Luke 23 and chapter 24 of Luke, was an extravagant luxury tomb. It had never been used before. It was cut out of rock. It was a tomb for a rich man, actually, which our Lord and Savior was worthy of. Because again, during the time that Jesus was on this earth, there's no evidence that he really had anything. But here he is. He's getting the death. He's getting the burial in the tomb of a rich man, the 75 pounds of perfume ointments, this new tomb that had never been used before, that was cut out of rock. He was worthy of all that, so he wouldn't come in contact with corruption, other dead bodies, which also was fulfilling of another prophecy of Isaiah 53, number 9. It's so ironic to note that Jesus, this poor man who lived a poor life here on earth when he was alive, but yet in his burial, he's getting a rich man burial. He didn't get his body, didn't get thrown into the trash heap along with the other victims, along with the other people that was on the cross. He's going to get a tomb that has never been occupied before, never been touched with corrupted, dead flesh before. He's getting this perfume, this expensive perfume used to embalm and mummify his body. And he was worthy of it all, but he was worthy of it all. And then finally, verse number 42. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid him there. And so they laid our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in that tomb, in this extravagant tomb that was really rich, meant for a rich man. And then we see in the other Gospels, and I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 27, where he talked about a heavy stone was placed over the tomb, and it was guarded by guards, because what the Jewish leaders thought would happen is, because Jesus had talked about his resurrection, they knew that because they were where he went, that they were listening as well. They didn't believe, but they was listening. And he talked about his resurrection. And so he was afraid, even though they didn't believe in him, that his followers would steal the body and claim that he had been resurrected. They didn't want to have to steal the body, because he was going to be resurrected supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. So we see in Matthew, John didn't give an account of this, but we see in Matthew's account in chapter 27 that a heavy stone was placed over the door of this tomb, and the tomb was guarded. So the tomb was protected from robbers, and that even also solidified that Jesus was raised from the dead. Didn't nobody steal his body? No one had to steal his body from the tomb. It was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised with all power, raised with all might, raised in victory over sin. The same victory that we share as a believer in Jesus Christ. So that is a look at the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He died for us. He was buried, as we looked at. And the next time, as we are winding down the book of John, we're going to look at his glorious resurrection. Because he rose again. He didn't just die. He didn't just stay dead. He rose again in all victory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for obeying the Father even unto death, that you would give up your life. They couldn't take it. You gave it up for us. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your security. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your holy will. We thank you for your faithfulness. We just thank you. You're glorious and you're great. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to renewyourmindm@gmail.com or mail it to P.O. Box 72-11-43,
Jackson, Mississippi, 39272. Remember, you can hear current and past episodes at any time on our website of renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Audible, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website of renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you are doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.